Well, we have a lot to celebrate this morning, and I'm going to focus on three things in particular. First of all, this year is the 75th year that people have been worshiping in this sanctuary. It was finished and dedicated, and worship was first held here 75 years ago in 1940. For over 10 years, from 1929, the year of the stock market crash, the week of the stock market crash, the education building opened. And so for 10 years, this congregation took classes there, walked across the street to what was then called Neely Chapel, worshiped there, and then returned here. In 1940, this building was opened for worship. The hymn we sang at the beginning was written by the senior pastor at the time, Costin Harrell. Now, if you look around the church, you'll see photographs from those early days. You'll see the text of that hymn, and you'll see photographs, especially in McWhirter Hall. Let me encourage you to walk around McWhirter Hall at some time during these next few weeks and take a look, because this sanctuary looked really different when it first opened. For example, there was no stained glass. There were no organ pipes. There was not a pulpit and lectern on either side of the chancel. There was simply a pulpit in the middle of the chancel. Even so, with the stones present and the structure present, it was absolutely transcendent. Now, add in the stained glass, add in the organ pipes, add in these beautiful pulpit, lectern, all of the pieces up here. Add in what we do every Sunday, the incredible music, and I'll tell you what, we got this transcendent thing down. We understand that God is high and lifted up. And that's a good thing. That is a very good thing. But the part we have to work at is the intimacy part. The reaching out and shaking the hand of someone we don't know, as I encourage you every single week to do. That's a part of the intimacy that we need to fill this sanctuary. The extending of a hand for a piece of bread placed by another hand, or a cup passing from hand to hand in Holy Communion, another act of deep intimacy. A story told here and there. A song that touches the heart. Acts of intimacy. Because you see, for us to be complete in our worship and complete in our discipleship, we need the transcendence of which this building speaks. And I'm grateful for it. And we also need the intimacy that we each can bring to this encounter with God and each other. And I am grateful for that as well. Now, that balance of transcendence and intimacy is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is speaking to here. He begins by describing Christ as that creative Word of God present at the very creation, whose Word still sustains everything that is. So that creation is ongoing. It didn't stop at some point. That creation is ongoing, and Jesus has been part of it from the very beginning. And so in that, he has a lot in common with the Gospel of John, that beautiful opening hymn. In the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Hebrews gets that. But then as you read on, after he's taken care of all those people who apparently are a little bit overly concerned about angels, he talks about Jesus coming to us as one of us, putting on that ragged, tattered, hand-me-down coat of our humanness, that thrift store purchase of our humanness, and wearing it the way we wear it in every way, Or perhaps another image might be Dolly Parton's coat of many colors, made from scraps, all the scraps of human experience, all pieced together. And the children tried to shame her because of it, but she refused to be shamed because it was a gift from her mother. The writer of Hebrews deals with that too, because there are apparently some folks who are trying to shame the followers of Jesus because they don't conform to the world and its values. The writer of Hebrews is saying that God took on human form. This ragged, tattered coat of our humanness is not a thing to be ashamed about. No, it is a mark of honor. The fact that all the scraps of our human experience got pieced together in that coat of many colors that his mother made for him in our humanness is not something to be ashamed of. It is a mark of honor. Because you see, the Christian is not to be like others. In following the example of Jesus, the one who refused to arm himself against those who called him their enemy. There was a time when Christians did not call to arm themselves, but refused to arm themselves, if you can believe that. When one of his followers sliced off the ear of a slave, Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, slice a few more." He tells them to stop, and he puts the ear back on. And is a force of healing. Even a humiliating death of torture by crucifixion is not something to be ashamed of. Not because Jesus flew off the cross and slaughtered all the soldiers there, but because instead he spoke words of forgiveness for the very people who drove spikes through his wrist. That is not something to be ashamed of, followers of Jesus. That is something that honors God. And Hebrews is pretty clear about that. Yes, Jesus is the one who was that spoken word of God, creating at the beginning and creating still. And Jesus is that one who took on these tatters, took on that coat of many colors of our humanness, and experienced literally everything we can experience, even death. Without returning the violence that was inflicted upon him. So in that ancient culture, and in ours, which trusted redemptive violence over redemptive love, Jesus chose redemptive love. In that ancient culture that chose fear over courageous love, Jesus chose courageous love. In that ancient culture that chose hate for all those who are different, Jesus chose love for all who are different. For all. All means all. And that's nothing to be ashamed of, says the writer of Hebrews. Because Jesus was the pioneer who did it first. He was the one who perfected our faith, which means completed our faith, by doing what he did. And he's the example that we follow. That's where we get the idea that we should see God as transcendent, but also participate in the intimacies of God's love. Theologians later would distill that down to fully human and fully divine. But the writer of Hebrews, along with the Gospels, fleshes that out. The second thing we are going to be celebrating today is World Communion Sunday. See all these people on my stole from all over the world. When you're invited for communion, there are going to be breads up here from literally all over the world. And we will be sharing with people who today, and sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, sometimes on another schedule, gather around Christ's table, not our table, Christ's table. And they break challah, or they break corn tortillas, or they break pita bread. And they repeat the words, "This is me given for you, my body given for you. And they will pass the cup, and sometimes it'll have wine, and sometimes it'll have juice, and they'll repeat the words, this is me poured out for you, my blood poured out for you, just like we do. And we extend that to everyone, to anyone who will come. Because you see, we believe that in ordinary bread, and it doesn't matter what kind of bread, and it doesn't matter whether it's juice or whether it's wine, but in the ordinary fruit of the vine and the ordinary fruit of the earth, we believe we experience the presence of Christ right here in the congregation. Just like in ordinary stone, we see Christ's transcendence. In ordinary glass, pieced together, we see Christ's transcendence. In the human touch, we feel Christ's touch. We'll have a different liturgy during that time, marking this particular day. Different prayers that will relate us to people around the world who are doing this very same thing. We may not agree on what it means. We may not agree on how to do it exactly. But one thing we do agree on, and that is in the most ordinary experience of life, eating and drinking, Christ is present. And not just at this table, but when we do it at this table, it helps us to recognize every time we break bread out there in a restaurant, in a kitchen, on the street, sharing with someone who needs it, Christ is present in the congregation, right here, in the most ordinary of things. And so when you come to the table today, and I hope you will because you'll all be invited, when you come to the table, realize that there are no borders to God's love. Before there were doctors without borders and reporters without borders, there were Christians without borders. And around the world today, we celebrate this feast of Christ's welcome. The third thing we're just kind of leaning into, and that is our faithful giving campaign. And that you'll hear more about through October. Our theme this year is a covenant of giving, the joy before us. A covenant is an agreement between two people or two groups of people. And this recognizes the covenant that we have with God and the fact that God has already done God's part. God has done everything to offer what God has to offer to us, including becoming one of us and experiencing everything that we could possibly experience and loving us through it. And like a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather waiting for those kids to get home for Thanksgiving dinner or for Christmas dinner or whatever dinner your family gathers for, God has been sitting there yearning for us to come to the table and to bring whatever we have. So when we bring our pledges or when we bring our money or when we bring our checks or our envelopes, they're the most ordinary things in the world. And they are the result of what we do out in the world, in our ordinary lives. But you see, what God does, just like with the bread and the cup, what God does with all of those gifts is that God takes those gifts, those ordinary gifts, coming from our ordinary work and lives and transforms them into food for people who are hungry and houses for people who have no homes. We are having a dedication for one today, this afternoon. And clothing for people who would go cold in this cold, rainy weather. And places where people are welcomed to come and to study about God's love who may have been excluded or pushed away from other places. Places where people can come and sing and pray and eat together. And God takes the most ordinary things of our lives and makes them holy. And in the process, I'm going to suggest to you, makes us holy. Set apart to be those followers of Jesus that we were meant to be. And so, here you have it. Everything we need, stone, glass, metal, our voices, our hands to reach out and touch, bread of various kinds, the cup, what we brought that we can give, all of it blessed by the presence of a Christ who was there at the beginning and is still here with us, creating, sustaining through his word. The Christ who put on this ragged, tattered humanity of ours, this coat of many colors, and refused to be ashamed to say that love overcomes everything, even death. Thanks be to God.